Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, or like a book club for people hate reading. This month we're doing Grab Bags, so in honor of our friend, I'm picking the movie Science of Sleep, made in 2006. We bring you movie news, and this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Hello. Stevens, and Ryan Prest. The Science of Sleep, 2006, and here's the short title. Our description: a man entranced by his dreams and imagination is love-struck with a French woman and feels he can show her his world. And his world is like Walter Mitty, but even more like low budget.
But okay, tell see if you agree with me on this. Did the low budget work for it? I think it did.
Yeah. I actually think the low budget's one of the reasons I like this movie.
Yeah, sure.
Because you had like his dream world was like cardboard and like eggs, like egg
cartons. I wanted one of the cars.
Yeah, for sure. It looks like a smart car.
It does. It was probably the same idea.
Of a smart car too.
Except the reverse worked a little weird. It looked like it was like on a Lazy Susan. The other thing I really liked about this movie was how many languages were spoken in.
Yeah, that was actually interesting.
I thought that was really well done because it was, you know.
It was pretty well written in like the three languages that it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for your tits make my penis hard.
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Oh, jeez.
That was an interesting line, I got to say. That one was one I was like, wow.
Again, I'm going to get to that.
I love the way it switches too, and I always thought it's weird that he said he's Mexican, but
he said he's Mexican.
But a lot of the monologue he speaks is not in Spanish, but English and poorly worded French, according to him. I thought that was really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had a handful of things that he said, and basically when he was like swearing or something like that, he dropped a couple in Spanish. Almost said Mexican. Holy crap. But
you know, the actual Spanish people from Spain wouldn't be bothered by you saying it's Mexican.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, as far as dialects go, but I mean, you know, that's like saying I'm bothered by calling, Texans. You know, Louisiana Southern English.
Okay. You're not far off, but there's some Creole and French mixed in there.
It's a version of the same thing. But well,
Creole isn't necessarily French.
Oh, yes, that's but why.
Now we're nitpicking. Okay. Ryan, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was interestingly written. I think it had another thing going for it when the low budget thing is concerned, aside from just the props and everything, which were perfectly used. But everything else, you know, when you have a low budget, you find like a house that somebody lives in to film in, you know what I mean? And then you actually use their furniture as the props. It's not like a prop guy. It's a whole of everything. Now, what should a French home look like? Oh, you know, yeah. It's much more of a lived-in sort of authentic feel to everything. But what usually kills it is poor dialogue and crappy music choices. Or this one actually had good of both, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
the music kicked ass in this movie.
I was going to say that I actually agree. There's nothing about this movie in some of even the parts, like the place he works at even has this kind of grimy, like, I know that place type of feel to it, but it's
like
not over
business,
the
you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. The where he's a typesetter. I forgot what it was called, but yeah, it has this kind of grimy lived in worked type of feel, you know? And I really
you
like,
mean it's got a realistic feel.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I think I'll wait till Ryan gets back before I really get into what I was thinking of this one. But I agree with you guys. There was a lot of interesting aspects to this film. It was a little Fear and Loathing-ish to me.
In which way?
In the way that there was a lot of scenes that were somewhat, to me, seeming drug-induced. But if you're sleep deprived, it would transfer over. Do you
like
see what I mean?
Well, as soon as you mentioned
the
that
clouds.
I'm
hitting the wrong chord.
It's the right resonant frequency. Actually, the one that made me think about that, how he was a bad drug dealer scene. That's the part. And they might have explained it, but I might not have caught it about why he dreams like this, or like him even sleepwalking randomly. And then putting that note, and he's like, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. And he's like, shit.
Well, his mom kind of goes into it when it's the dinner scene when they're sitting there and she's got the guru, and the guru comes in and he's doing like some magic tricks and stuff. She kind of explains that he blends the reality of his sleep with actual reality to the point where he can't really tell the difference completely.
Oh, that's why he walked up and slapped the guy, and the guy was, you know, it's like basically saying, "Don't do that."
Yeah, yeah.
Here, hold this heavy ass television. That for some reason I'm walking a CRT from one scene to another.
Yeah, so you know that's kind of where they get into it.
No, you're right. That makes sense.
But I think for me that. I just don't enjoy these types of films.
Really? I was with you. I actually didn't think I was going to dig it, but it turns out I really liked it. I thought it was really well done. Yeah, I mean, that kind of shocked me how much I liked it.
I got to say, I wasn't impressed. I could not get into it, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I gave it as much as I could, and I kept up, and of course I finished it, but I just could not get into it. And I think for me, this is kind of the same thing coming back to the Jim Carrey one,
Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which was another, I think this was the one, that was the one, Jeff Michael, this episode is, we picked.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that he picked. And it was, again, that was the same kind of thing where it's like these troublesome relationship films. I don't get them.
See, I didn't think this was more troubled relationship, more like an introvert guy with very bad social skills who says, "You're going to be mine in 40 years. You need to fix your teeth."
he had those type of issues. I just could not get into it. And I think it's the troublesome relationship stuff. It's like, I mean, because he's sitting there and he's trying to fall in love with her, he's trying to get her to fall in love with him,
and he's doing
to have a relationship with him. He's doing it horribly,
and he's being a stalker, like breaking into her house and trying to repair a toy.
Yeah, and then also what was the other one where he? Now I was trying to figure out if that was actually happened or if that was her dream or if that was blended in, but where he walked up buck naked.
The way it looked like to me is it looked like it actually happened.
Yeah.
Cause it looked like he was sleepwalking.
Wish I could have Ryan bounce that one off, but yeah, I think he was sleepwalking too. But then there was shortly after there was a scene where he did the same thing, but it kind of dressed in PJs.
So no, see, I'm thinking two things happened. One, I think it happened initially, and I think the other one is when he woke up from sleeping in the bathtub, he looked at the tablet and realized there was writing on the notepad. So I think it was him getting redressed and in him going, "Oh crap, I better get the note."
And it was already gone. Okay.
Yeah,
because
it shows her side of it too on the other side about him looking at her
she was talking
naked.
About a dream sequence at that time too, so that might be where I got confused.
Well, before that, she was talking about that weird turtle scene, and where she was thinking she was still dreaming.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I love this movie though. I didn't think I went in this movie being really skeptical, which kind of helps. But the dream sequences to me, I actually really thought added to it. Like I love they did kind of that Franken and Bass. Kind of water effect.
Yeah, you know, there was some really cool stop motion scenes.
Which to me was like,
paper
mache, this is awesome. Yeah.
Editions, and like you guys brought up, I really enjoyed the opening scene. I did enjoy the opening scene where you come in and he's starting his kind of little
TV show
and stuff. I thought that was really cool. And the set that they did with it, I thought that was really cool.
Because
the relationship stuff, the dialogue between all those two was just
for the first time ever in a movie like this, that didn't bug me. Because to me, it was just like, okay, this is an extreme introvert who has bad social skills. So he does things or says stuff that a normal person wouldn't do. And this isn't even to me like the Napoleon Dynamite level of movie, which I hate. To me, this is awkward.
The cow scene was awesome.
True. But see, this is an awkward humor to me. This is a guy just truly not knowing that you're not supposed to enter a woman's house when she's not there and steal something of hers. You know, I mean, it's kind of break in and entering.
He gave it back.
I don't remember if it worked or not, though.
Well, he was on the phone and saying that it worked. He put motors to different legs and it worked that way.
The other scene I thought was kind of odd was the scene with that flash bulb. You know, it's going to reverse time. And...
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
And I couldn't tell if they were trying to make it think that it was real or if it was they just saw the flash. Okay, now it was rewinding time. You know, I that was a part to me that was a trip. So I kind of enjoyed trying to figure out what happened there.
I think that it was alluding to that it was real, but it was you brought up Napoleon Dynamite, but it's real like the time travel thing that he had it strapped to his nuts. You know, I think that was as real as that.
Yeah, true. Hey, it's 1986.
No, it does make you time travel and take you back to why did I make that purchase? Was I drunk?
Right?
Make your voice high. So, but, you know, I just think, as far as I go, and this could be why Jeff never referred this movie to me, is that this was more of a pick for him, and it sounded like it was right up your alley, because, I mean, this, yeah, it just...
I would say for me, storyline-wise, there wasn't, to me personally, I mean, this has a pretty high rating on some of the sites. It didn't have a lot, but what really drew me in was the sets drew me in, and then I started digging the story. And there's just weirdness. Like, his interaction with that one guy said, these are the two fags.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Because I love that woman's comment.
Then they're dykes.
See, I love that woman's comment. It doesn't work if he's a man and I'm a woman.
Well, I just think the scene that I really enjoyed with that character was when he's like, my armpits smell like sperm, and he rubs the guy's face in his arm, and the guy goes and tells his boss and then comes back out, and he's like, can Stefan use this equipment? And he's like, never mind.
I love what he says to his boss, though. You know, he says to his boss, he's making me smell the sperm again, which kind of makes you think, okay, this is something that happens normally.
Yeah.
Which it's kind of like, really? What?
I mean, if it's happening normally, and you put yourself in a situation near enough to him where he can grab your face and shove it in his French armpit, yeah, that's kind of on you as well.
Well, it's just like the scene where he asks, like, doesn't he ask, like, how much he weighs and throws him in a trash can?
He's just the, what's that character from basketball? Stevie?
All I remember him is bitch. Squeak.
Squeak. That's right.
That's okay. I was trying to remember what it was.
I don't think we're going to have Ryan for this episode. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, Ryan hasn't shown up so far. Ryan, are you there?
Am I out there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. That's a lot better. Okay. That's better.
So I was telling John that this one, for me, there were aspects of it that I enjoyed, but for the most part, I really did not get into this film.
And for me, a lot of the parts I loved was kind of the Franken and Bass-esque like animation. That was the part that kind of made me fall in love with it because I'm a sucker for that type of stuff.
Yeah, just for me, it didn't motivate me. It didn't motivate me to enjoy the character dialogue between him and the females, and his awkwardness just didn't really float my boat, and the strange kind of relationship he was having with her, I didn't care.
So what do
that to me speaks volumes. If I really don't care about any of the interactions, I'm not going to enjoy the film.
Well, true. So what do you think, Ryan?
Okay, for me, the whole movie is kind of colored in like the last 10 minutes when he goes kind of like absolute schizophrenic on her. And so the movie switches from this kind of quirky, like Nick and Nora Infinite Playlists type of quirkiness to this, like, I'm sort of worried about this guy's mental safety.
Or about him killing her.
Safety. Right.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So,
like,
so
all of a sudden it's the movie Seven.
Kind of like a mental illness turn for me, and it kind of weirded me out. But I thought it was wonderfully acted. And again, I mean, with the sets and all that stuff, I got to at least give it a 3 out of 5. And it was an interesting enough story without there being a real plot. You know what I mean? So that's pretty impressive.
I think there was a plot, but I'm kind of wondering, do you have to speak another language to actually understand what it was? But
there was no plot. There was no plot there.
Well, it was just
a depression of events.
You know, I actually, for me, there's a couple of things. I would normally give that as a 3 out of 5, but because of Jeff, I was paying a tad bit more attention, and I have to give it a 4 to 5.
You know, I tried, but like I said to John when Ryan was off the air for the moment, is, you know, this, to me, I didn't enjoy Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. I just did not really get into it. And this kind of seems relatively esque similar with the relationship strain between them. And it's a pick for John. It wasn't a pick for me. So it was just recommendation to John, not to me. And for me, I didn't get into it.
So what'd you give it? 2? Wow. Deuces.
Yeah, I just...
So you're the Russian judge.
I mean, I gave it as much props as I can on the sets, and some of those little interactions were kind of amusing, but all in all...
So we're going to switch now...
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, we're going to switch now to the TV show we talked about like 2 or 3 weeks ago, Ash versus the Evil Dead. And I had mixed emotions about this because I saw the last one in theaters. I don't remember thinking, I can't wait for another one.
Love Bruce Campbell. Shut up.
Well, I love Bruce Campbell, but the problem is you have a TV show. Thankfully, this was directed by Sam Raimi or whoever his name is. I got to give this respect, is they actually were very respectful of the source material, which is I was worried about most of all.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that he hadn't, you know, he's still the same screw up who thinks he's a badass. And I loved it. It was my favorite scene was the end, you know, like, because towards the beginning, he threw the dartboard, completely missed it. And somehow towards the end, he took this emergency axe that somehow is bolted to the side of his trailer and threw it, you know, and it's like, yes,
it's just, you know, those reflexes.
Shit. He needs the, what do you call it? The, the flight or flight thing to kick in.
Pretty much. And that's actually kind of what the character is. It's he's a goof off and screw up until it's necessary not to be, and then he kind of pulls it out.
Until three little things come jumping out of his throat, or into his throat.
Yeah, he's the king of pulling it together when it counts.
Yeah, that's really...
he's the San Francisco 49ers.
Really character. And, you know, I gotta say, how old was Bruce Campbell when he did the first one? Like 20?
Oh, yeah, he was young.
20, Ryan?
Yeah, really.
About 20. Now he's like, what, 45?
I'd say in his 20s, 24.
I think Bruce Campbell's 50.
Yeah, I was going to say 50.
He's probably closer to 50 for sure.
I'm actually going to pull it up. I think he's 50 yet.
I think he's mid-50s.
I wouldn't be surprised, but...
And my favorite thing about how they justified how this TV show...
Shit.
How old is he?
57.
See? Told you. I was right.
Yeah, there you go. She's older than my mom.
Ding,
dude,
ding, Bruce ding, Campbell, ding. Circle gets good, the square.
Just like Lucy Lawless.
I love how they justified how this whole thing happening was him getting stoned off his ass one night with some bar bunny reading the Necronomicon, and there she is like a scene later being all Linda Blair.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. And he was actually 34 when Evil Dead was released.
Wow, really?
Right?
That's hilarious. Wow. He already did have that dapper older guy, like lantern jaw kind of look at the time. Didn't look like your average 22-year-old.
He must have gotten carded until he was 40.
I mean, I'm like 10 years off on both of them. You look 10 years younger on screen, Bruce.
And 50 pounds overweight.
Actually, he's not that overweight.
I have to disagree with you. I think he'd be the type to actually be that friend advised to be before you because he looks like he's 21 already.
Yeah.
True. I really liked this. I might, if I actually get a free moment, to watch more of the episodes. I don't know if they continued this series, though.
They did. Ryan and I are both pretty much caught up.
Pretty much. And really caught up. Speaking specifically about the pilot, though, I mean, the only two words that come to mind is fucking nailed it.
Oh, yeah. So
there's
going to be another season?
I believe so. It's looking right now like there is. I'm not going to tell you exactly what happened in the most recent episode that I saw, but it looks like they might actually pull 3 seasons out of this from what I gather. That's my prediction. At least 2, hopefully 3.
So I was actually reading something about from Sam Raimi talking about how they almost drowned Bruce Campbell in the filming of this. And he was saying, oh, we waterboarded him and we did this and we did that. It's like, well, I'm definitely going to have to get a free few minutes to watch it. And by the way, it's a perfect length. At least the pilot's 30 minutes.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Well, the subsequent episodes are 30 minutes also, so it's cool. My freaking girlfriend even likes the show. But
Did she see Evil Dead?
What's that?
Has she seen the movie?
Oh, yeah, she's seen the first couple, and I just made her watch Army of Darkness the other day.
Is she old enough to rent it?
But this one doesn't reference Army of Darkness because it's 2 different studios that own it.
Yeah.
But it's also worth pointing out for fans who might have been avoiding this because they relish the first two so much. And it's, you know, cult things, it's hard to capture that lightning in a bottle like
we talked about before.
But this was actually supposed to be the fourth film. They just had too much material to pack into a film. So they made it into a TV show.
So he was in his 20s.
I actually think...
I have to apologize. I looked at the wrong... I pulled out the wrong date. He was actually 26 when he did The Evil Dead. So,
and okay.
I would say 20 minutes. I'd say 30 minutes for an episode is actually perfect because they get to do enough of wacky things, get a little horror, and makes you want to see the next episode. I think that's perfect. And you can catch it in a lunch break. And I don't know. I love the half hour format.
Yeah.
Especially for this.
Sam Raimi has a way of putting like really hardcore horror movie images on a screen and making you totally laugh at everything.
Oh yeah.
You know, and not in like the Freddy Krueger kind of way, in a much more tongue in cheek, but like really self-aware campiness, you know, but and something only he can pull off. Yeah.
And they threw a lot at you in that 30 minutes too. It wasn't like, you know, like the old saying 1960s, you get like a couple of plot points. They threw a ton at you.
Oh yeah. No, this was one of the best pilots that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, initially, like about halfway through the pilot, I was wondering if they did too much. But after finishing that episode, I was thinking, no, if they keep up like this, they'll do all right.
Oh, man. I mean, when he finally got the chainsaw.
Yes, that was the point I was waiting for. It's like, get to the chainsaw. Come on, damn it. Hurry up. That's all I was saying. I just wanted to see it. I knew it was going to wait till the end, but I was like, damn it. So, ladies and gentlemen, just want to let you know, we do have a Facebook page. You love us, hate us. If you write some hate mail and it's creative...
Give me your money.
We'll read you on air. We'll make fun of you, roast you, torture you, and probably make fun of your mom, dad, and or uncle, aunt, girlfriend.
That cost extra.
Goat.
And goatsy? Make sure, do us a favor. Make sure, you know, you can donate to Old Guy Tech TV. Help keep the lights on.
Give me your money or I won't bitch slap you.
And so I've got some movie news. There's not a whole lot out there I could find.
No, there's not.
One being something I'm excited about was Krang is confirmed for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. I am actually excited to see how this turns out because none of the other films that I'm aware of have that particular character.
Now, are we talking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the sequel to the fucking Michael Bay movie?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wow.
That's why I'm excited. And Rocksteady and Bebop are in it.
I mean, okay, I'm in for just that, because I know Michael Bay is going to deliver on some visuals, but we all know my epic problems with the storyline.
Dude, I got a new thing that you're going to love. Dude, Michael Bay says he's going to direct Transformers 5, and then he's done.
And then he's done?
Well, that's left open.
Then they're going to do Transformers 6, Nazis in Space.
It probably just means that he's going to be done with the Transformers ruining your childhood.
Know what he's going to do? He's going to do Beast Wars next.
I would actually watch that.
I would too, honestly.
you should have seen your face, though. That eye roll, if it got any bigger, it would have rolled out of your eyes.
Oh,
it would have rolled out of your head, out of your socket.
Calm down, Chipper Monkey.
And the next one's kind of talking about a little bit about the movie we did last week about Star Wars character BB-8.
Movie last week?
Star Wars. We did Star Wars last week.
We weren't here last week.
or the week before that. You know what I mean. We did Star Wars recently.
You sure?
Whatever.
No, not really.
I mean, it's fine. Whatever.
Well, we did Star Wars, the Force Awakens. Force hey, Awakens.
Hey. The Force?
It's your show. It's your show, buddy.
But he's forcing it.
Are you done yet?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm sorry.
I'm not.
And I was reading that it's a practical effect, 100% practical.
You mentioned this last week, right. I know that.
Well, I was reading about it, and one of the ways I was saying how it was done is done by magnets.
Well, yeah.
We talked about this last time.
Yeah.
Well, I had a guy who had a toy, and he worked the same way.
Well, what I was saying is there's an actual article on Forbes describing it.
Are we just recapping last week?
I think that's what we're doing.
Yes. Are you finished now? I just wanted to let people know that there's our Facebook page is an article explaining how it works.
Oh, okay.
And it was actually pretty interesting how it works. It was for a movie. I'm surprised they just didn't do CGI. The next one,
that's because George Lucas wasn't part of it.
And the other one is a spinoff for X-Force has been revealed, which is another X-Men team that, unless you're a comic book fan, you've never fucking heard of.
I wonder if Hughie Jack's going to be in it.
No, I think Hugh Jackman said the...
He said he's done with Wolverine, but...
I don't know. It's time to go for another one, a new person. The other one is going to say the first Doctor Strange photo has been revealed with Benedict Cumberbatch. And I'm kind of excited. It makes me really kind of want to see the movie even more because he doesn't look ridiculous, as I would have thought.
I don't know. I'm going to stay on the fence on this one. I'm a fan of Doctor Strange.
For sure.
I would hate to see him ruin it.
I don't know. I just... It's a Marvel movie, so give and take, it could be a good or it could be a bad thing.
They have slaughtered Marvel movies. They've slaughtered superheroes. I mean, Ryan and I were just talking about this yesterday, about what they did to Batman after Michael Keaton came out with Burton.
Yeah, well, yeah, the films that shall not be named, I mean, was a real insane, but I think that, like I was telling you yesterday, man, is it serves as like the low watermark, you know what I mean? Like, is like this cautionary tale for future directors, like, hey, don't just think this is some dumbass kids thing, you know?
Yeah, but do we have to do the low marks before we get the top?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, somebody had to show us what it could be if. I mean, well, like you said, it's like, what? It's a comic book movie. Aren't comic books for kids? And it's like, no, man, they've been writing adult Batman stories, you know, since before I was born, you know, like well before, like really heady, like crazy stuff that you would not hand a 12-year-old.
Yeah, true.
You know, and unfortunately, the low marks literally almost killed the franchise in movies.
Yeah, for sure. It almost killed superhero movies in general.
Thank you, Nolan.
And they cost it a fortune. That was the problem.
I was going to say, the movie with Leah Thompson that won't be named almost killed superhero movies before they started.
That was an extenuating circumstance.
Let's do Tank Girl again.
The other one that's interesting, this isn't necessarily a movie news, but this is a just geek in general news, where Zerk returns to anime in 2016.
Yes. Oh, man, I know I friggin' posted that for James like a week ago. I was friggin' stoked to see that one.
Yes, this is one I've been waiting for since I saw the first episode of Berserk, and I went, why can't we follow that storyline?
I wasn't interested. It's like, okay, now that I know what happened to him before, how about, you know, you get the other season out? Come on, I want to see it.
And that's what, like 15, 20 years ago that
when
came
I
out?
First introduced
yeah,
her to it
a while ago.
So I'm really excited because I'm hoping it's actually going to be faithful, because sometimes you never know how sequels actually go. It could be good or it could be completely butcher it. And
yeah, but I mean, for the random fan out there who's not really aware of what we're talking about, it is an anime, and I'm one of those people that didn't really get heavy into it. I kind of dabbled in anime because I had a bunch of friends who were hardcore into it. Berserk kind of spoiled me for the rest of anime because it was kind of head and shoulders above the rest.
Yeah,
that in Hellsing, you know?
Yes.
Those were the two that got that I showed James that kind of pushed him over the edge.
Boy, oh, those were the two James. What,
it's kind of like the drug addict that lets you let you have the first taste for free. And then afterwards, right, he was exactly. cursing me because it was so fucking expensive.
Dude, I still have some that are not anime that are unfinished collections.
And so we're going to switch off to that to a case of, are they still making this? And why is Gambit the movie with Channing Tatum?
Yeah, are they still making that?
There's a thing on Facebook that I posted, and from everything I've heard, they still are. But at this point, I'm actually done with X-Men movies. I really liked the last one, and I actually think they should stop for a while on that note. The trailer for X-Men Apocalypse I've seen, I'm kind of underwhelmed. But I've never liked the Apocalypse character either.
Go on, Ryan.
There's only so much more epic that you can get, you know?
True. All they need now is the Phoenix Saga done better.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, Dark... right, exactly.
But this one, to me, has some of my favorite...
like the four
character transformations.
Well, like the Four Horsemen characters?
Yes, that is what I'm excited for. I don't know about Ryan, but I mean, I loved watching Angel switch from Angel to Archangel.
Yeah.
That was just awesomeness.
I don't know. I actually think it's time for them to give some of these a rest. Like X-Men, give a rest, because they butchered every X-Men from 1, 2, 3 up, except for Last Class and Last Stand.
Yeah.
Those are the only two X-Men movie I can actually say I really liked.
There were parts of the last.
Well, I like the original ones, but they compressed so much canon into those first three movies that it was like wow, you just told the entire story in 6 hours, huh?
I actually like the first two. The first three is an abortion. I mean, the third one is an abortion just because it was a different director, the way they tried to do it, even the acting was bad, and the whole thing to me, the third one was horrible. Except for killing Scott Summers. I was totally aimed for killing Cyclops.
Yeah, but he didn't go the way I wanted him to. I think Havoc should have killed him.
That would have been cool. So next week is James's pick, and for that...
I have another one that Jeff referred to me, and it's called Hard Candy, and I had it for quite a while before I had a chance to watch it, because he kind of told me to wait for till I wasn't around family to watch it. Now, we'll see what that fully entails. So that's what I was gonna do. What I just say, Hard Candy, it was 2009, I believe. That's what I just saw, and I just closed that because I was moving. 2005, sorry. This was 2005, and then the TV show. Unfortunately, Ryan and I want to watch The Outsiders, and I also want to put a little bit of watching into The Colony, but those are not going to be released until next week and the following week. So we're going to do one that I put out a little while ago that came out, I think, last month, called Childhood's End. Let me look at the release date. Yes, December 14th. So this one looks like it's just the 3-part so far. So if that's how they do it, I think we could bust out all three if we think the first one's good. What do you guys think?
I'm down. We can, you know.
It's a sci-fi.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, but I mean, okay. They did Neverland, and that was pretty good.
Yeah, but sci-fi has, it's either good or it sucks out loud.
Oh, yeah, that's why I said only the first episode, yeah, make a decision after.
Well, unfortunately, they also have a reputation of doing a really good first episode, and everything else just blows, too. So, no, we'll see. I'm down for that, you know, if all three of us, or two of the three of us like it.
Yeah, Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, since there, I don't see any more release dates of episodes, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking we could just see if we if it's any good or not, but, yeah.
No, I'm down with that.
It's got a decent rating so far on IMDb, but.
I gave the movie Science Asleep a 4-5. James gave it a 2-5. Ryan gave it a 3-5. And this movie and the next one are kind of in memorial to a good personal friend of us, friend of ours and host of RFR, yep. Jeff Michael. Yeah. And as always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye. I'm gonna go get some more.